morning, if I can just go back to what I learned from my father. Growing up, I used to think that my father was a very hard man. You know, possibly my kids think I'm a hard man as well. You know, but I never had, whilst he was alive, I never had the best, what I would think a, you know, very close relationship with my father. But it's now that he's late, you know, the few things that he said to me carry even more significance. You know, I recall it at a time, you know, I can't, my father had 26 children, you know, and so there were many of us, you know, and one day I was kicked out of the house by one of my mothers, and so now we're in the vehicle with my father, and I'm saying to him, look, man, I've been kicked out, you know, where do I go after school? Because I was kicked out on a Saturday night. And I recall the day that I was, the moment I was kicked out, I was. It so happened that Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise song was on the radio, you know, and the sun was streaming in. So I can recall the emotion that I felt, when my stepmother came into the room and she wasn't holding back. The moment she opened the door, this was at her sister's house, she just started to unload the automatic weapon of her mouth, you know. So she really did not relent. She just went on and on. I was called all sorts of names, you know. And so I then get taken to another mother's house, you know. And so I spent the weekend there, Saturday night, Sunday night. And then on Monday, my father says, you know what? I'm going to take you shopping. So he took me shopping to Country Road. And then I asked him the question to say, well, what's going to happen to me after school? Because I was staying with a lady that kicked me out, you know? And so he said, you have to go there. That's your home. But he said something to me that in that moment, I'm sitting at the back of the car, and he said, don't ever say you never made it in life because your stepmother kicked you out of the house. And I thought to myself, what a cruel man. You know, he should be feeling sorry for me. But now, years later, you see, those were possibly one of the best gifts that could have ever given me. You know, to say that you have to take responsibility for your life. Because sometimes a lot of us can say other people did this to me, therefore I am the way that I am because of what others did to me. So I learned that from my father. The other thing I learned from him was we had gone on a holiday with, since I've got lots of brothers and sisters, we had gone on the holiday with all the brothers, and he was talking to us, and he said, he was giving us some advice for business, and he said, buying, selling, margin. He says, those three things, that's business for you. Buying, selling, margin. Which is essentially, you buy cheap, you sell very expensive. The margin is what it's all about in business. Then he also said another thing, which is very special. Now, given that this man had 26 children, not all by one woman, you could tell that he had many relationships. You know, I was between him and my mother, I was the only one. And there were others, I guess, who had four with the one mother, many ones. And so he said, you know, don't look for laughter outside of your home. You know? So I guess it's one of those things where, you know, because of his failed marriages or relationships, he probably wasn't good at them. That wasn't his strong point. Possibly as soon as things got hard, he said, I'm out of here, you know. But he said, don't look for laughter outside of your home. And those, you know, are I mean, those are not the only things. Those are the main things that I can, if I was to remember my father, I remember him for those things. You know, that, you know, fathers are not perfect. They don't have it all together. But there is just something about them that makes them unique from mothers. You know, mothers are great. They love us. They care for us. But fathers give us something that, you know, that mothers try as they may, and they do a fantastic job. They cannot give it because it was not meant for them to give. You see, because the man, generally, man is seed-bearing, you know? Man is seed-bearing. All of us are here as a result of somebody else's seed, you know? Doing something, you know, so and so. But that is what man is, you know? Man gives seed. He sows seed. That's his job, is to sow seed. That's the way it was naturally made. But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily perfect. The things I learned from my grandfather, who was here, but he decided to go back in January. And this is my mother's father. I recall he taught us, you know, at a young age, how to pray, have a Bible study, connect group, you know. But also to be a nice human being. You know, he's just a nice man, you know. Gets along, you know, he's just a gentle guy. You know, that's still work in progress for me, to be a gentle guy. But, you know, that's I learned that from him, you know. And also the way that he loved my grandmother. She was not an easy woman, you know. But he loved her nonetheless, and I think he did a great job, you know. And I just sometimes wonder, how did he get along with my grandmother, you know? Now, I say this about my grandmother, but I love my grandmother. She, to me, was one of the most important people in my life, you know. So, fathers are very, very important. Males are very, very important, you know. So today I just want to go very quickly through five things that make a good father. A father is a protector. In Psalm 5, verses 11, it says that, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt you." Now, to take refuge is a state of being safe or sheltered, a place or situation providing safety or shelter. And that's what fathers do. They provide that. They provide that comfort. They provide that covering over us, over their children, over their families. You see, and then in Ephesians 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And so, a good father is going to be concerned about your well-being, you know. He will always look after you. And sometimes, you see, fathers can get on your nerves. They can irritate. They can make things, you know, for kids. They can make things difficult for their kids. There might be a lot of no's. But that's all because they're doing it to protect you. That's their natural bent. You are their offspring. So they're going to try and look after you so that your tomorrow is going to be good. You know, a father is a protector against the enemy, you know. He's a protector against stresses and hardships. You see, because fathers are the head of the house, you see, therefore when trouble hits, they are the ones to face the music first. If somebody were to knock on the door at night, you know, normally the father is the one who's going to go and check it out to see what's happening. Why? Because he's doing it to protect his family. You see, fathers are very important, and that's why they always ensure that the door is locked at night. Even though they may not lock it, they ensure that the door is locked. Because the family is important to them. And so that's why they protect their family by locking the door. You know, in many places around the world, there are storm walls, and they're designed to take the brunt of savage seas and strong winds. But inside those storm walls, there is calm and there is peace, because the wall has taken the full brunt of the storm. That's what fathers do. They take the, you know, they take the lashing for the family. The second thing that fathers do and are good at is that they're providers. You know? And it's not just about money, it's about an attitude. You see? Fathers who provide financially, but they also provide wisdom, friendship, counsel. And they just make things fun around the house, you know. A father will bring perspective, insight, and a giving spirit, because a father adds to your life, you know. Your life is richer and fuller because your father is in it. So I guess, you know, sometimes you might be thinking, you know, as a young girl, young woman, you know, I want to date a person that is stingy. Don't do that. Don't date a man that is stingy. And because the record we have from Father God is that he's very generous. You see, his example of fatherhood is that he's very generous, that he gave everything for you and I. You know? So a person that is stingy at 20 is going to be stingy at 70, unless there's some intervention that comes in. You know? And so one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. Our Father will provide. You see, God places fathers in homes to take on responsibilities. Now, I know in the age that we're living, you know, now the woman might get paid more. So there's no longer any such thing as that I'm bringing home the bacon, because you might be, as a father, bring home the bacon, but she's bringing home the pig, you know. And so, but still, you provide from what you have. And you bring that attitude of just adding to your family and watching over them and protecting them. Another key thing that fathers do is that they're promoters. They promote others to make them look good, you know. And so when Jesus himself was baptized, the heavens opened and God the Father spoke through the Holy Spirit and said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." And so a father is going to be the best and proudest promoter of his children. You see, the world has lots of malicious people. People in it that are going to mock and people that are going to hate. You know, but our job as fathers is to encourage and not to pull down. You know, and we take the lesson from God the Father to his Son, who says that I am well pleased with you. You know, we discipline as fathers our children in the ways of the Lord. And you know what? That's part of good loving. A little bit of discipline will go a long way, you know. And so we want to be those fathers that stand in the gap for our children, you know, as Moses did. He stood in the gap with others until they see the salvation of the Lord. You know, even when God was getting really ticked off with the children of Israel, he says, you know what? I'm going to wipe these people out. But Moses interceded on their behalf to say, no, you can't do that. And the same thing with Abraham, with Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham realized that Lot was caught up in Sodom and there was a great chance that he was going to be destroyed, because God said, should I withhold what I'm going to do from Abraham? And so because God did not withhold, you see, God told him what he was going to do. And instead of Abraham saying, you know what, burn the whole place down, you know, let them suffer, he interceded and he says, if there were 50, and he kept bringing it down until he says, even if there was 5 or 10, just enough. And so that's what we do as fathers. We promote, we look after, you know, and we provide. So we protect, we provide, and we promote. The fourth thing is that we're a priest, you know. A father should be a priest of his house. You know, Noah survived the flood with his family in Genesis 8, verse 20. You know, and what he did is that he built an altar to the Lord there. And that's what we have to do as fathers. You know, we have to have a prayer life, you know, because we know that our prayer life can change something that is so bad into something remarkable. And so every man needs to have a prayer life, time with his God, you know. And one of the key things you see is that we've constantly got to be bringing our families to God and saying, Lord, I pray for my wife, I pray for my children. You know, that's what we do as priests of the home. You know, in 2 Chronicles, you know, because one of the greatest struggles for us as men sometimes is sometimes we get it wrong and it's our sin, you know. But the sin is not our biggest problems. It's our lack of prayer that's the issue. Because in 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. So we need as fathers to have a prayer life, to pray over our children, to pray over our grandchildren, to speak into their lives. And that leads us into the fifth thing that a father is that they're a prophet. You see, we tell our children what they can be and what they can do. Whenever we have the opportunity, we speak into their lives. You know, we grab them and we just tell them that I love you and that you can do anything. Because that's what God does over us. As we read his scriptures, you know, he says, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know? And when things get tough, we speak destiny into children's lives. We speak destiny into our families' lives. Because that's what God does for us. You know? Jacob and Rachel in Genesis 35, verse 17 to 18, she was about to give birth to a son. And because she was in great sorrow and distress throughout the birth, she called the boy Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. You know, however, Jacob immediately called their son Benjamin, son of my strength. Now, we can appreciate the fact that she was going through childbirth, which is difficult, you know, which she later succumbed to. But it's that we've constantly got to speak those words of encouragement, words of affirmation, words that build up, words that say to them, you can do whatever it is you put your mind to. That's what fathers do, you know. We lay hands on our children. We prophesy into their lives, you know. We prophesy their children's greatness. And we know that from Jacob came the kings of Israel, just as his father had promised, son of my strength, you know. And so what we do as fathers, we lay hands on our sons and daughters and we prophesy over them. And so fathers are to be protectors, they're to be providers, they're to be promoters, they're to be priests, and they're to be prophets. And so never underestimate the power of a father as a relationship with his God. And this is what I just implore on all of us men, you know, that as those that are seed-bearing, we are constantly sowing. And the funny thing you see is that the jails are full of men. And a lot of them, not all, a lot of them come from homes where the father is not present, where there is an absence of that seed sowing, of that seed-bearing person that is just dropping seeds into their lives. But also from fathers who've sown the bad seeds into their children's lives. And as the band comes, as we finish, you know, God affirms each and everybody here. God puts value on everybody's life, you know, that your life is valuable to him, that he is special, he is a father to you, you know, that you can come to God and be assured, no matter what your relationship with your earthly father was like, be assured that when you approach God, he's never going to let you down. Because there is no one. There is no one like the Lord God. There is no one like Him as a Father. And so we can fully trust in Him that, you know what? He has us in the palm of His hands, as we would sing at Sunday school. He has the whole world in His hands. You know? We can trust in Him. We can have an assurance that God loves us and that God cares for us, and that regardless of what we think we have done that maybe would have pushed us far away, our earthly fathers might do that, but God would never do that to each and every one of us, because He is perfect. And as a result of that, He's always going to draw us closer to Himself. And that's where we need to have the confidence, you know, that no matter what I'm going through, God is never going to let me down. God is always going to be there for me. And so as the band begins to play and begins to sing, you know, I just want us to just stand and to worship one more time. And